today. I'm in Santa Barbara, California. The sun is shining so gloriously. The blue sky is out. People are out. The energy feels right. And so I find myself here doing this podcast, 2 months removed from my previous podcast. And I've been ruminating. I've been thinking and just trying to come up with a great concept to articulate. And there's so many ideas floating on around in my mind. There's so many concepts that I want to delve deep into. And, you know, rather than try to pinpoint a certain topic, I'm just going to talk and express myself. So the last podcast was called Synergy, and it was about the energy that I feed off of amongst clients, amongst friends, amongst training partners, and all the amazing people that I'm so grateful to have in my life. Well, today, I just want to talk about something that's not so optimistic, something that we all face every day, something that we may not talk about, but it's the internal dialogue that is negative within our mind. It's the things that we tell ourselves on a daily basis that can hold us back, that could stymie our progress. For me, I'm a very optimistic person by nature. I tend to see the world through a shiny lens, a bright and shiny lens, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, the glass is always half full. And that's the way I'm wired. And I understand that other people are not wired that way. And they may see the world through a much more dark and despairing lens. And that's okay. That's okay. But we all have something in common, and that's that we have good and bad days. Okay? I might have 9 out of 10 days that are extremely awesome. Through the roof, excitement, productivity. I'm feeling so grateful to be alive. But every so often, I have a day where I'm not feeling at my best. And what do I do in those days? Do I freak out? How do I react? Do I do all these things that are adverse to my progress and lifestyle? No, because I've come across them time and time again. And when they happen, when they occur, they're no less daunting than they were the first time I experienced such a day. However, I have experience with how to deal with the days that I feel shitty. When I have a day where I'm not feeling motivated, when I have a day where I'm feeling angst, depression, anxiety, whatever it may be. Recently, I've been having them more often, more frequently, and I know that something deep within me is coming to life. I know that there's something going on in my subconscious that I'm failing to address that's affecting my well-being and how I feel. You know, recently I was reading a book called Emotional Intelligence, and it was talking about this very same subject. I happened to be reading a chapter that related to exactly what I'm describing the day I was having one of these moments. And it basically said that we identify with our emotions, and when we're experiencing a day where our emotions are unaligned with our lifestyle and the way we perceive ourselves and want to be, then we experience subsequent emotions that could be negative, that could affect us. So for instance, I had a day where I was feeling tired and lethargic, and that goes against everything that I promote, everything that I am about. I'm about productivity, go, go, go. But the facts are that I'm human, and it's okay to have a day where I'm feeling that way. However, I do not allow that to occur. So I was feeling angst. I was feeling irritable. I was feeling depressed, and I didn't know why. And I'm reading this chapter talking about how subconsciously we identify with our emotions and subsequently it will affect our moods. And that's exactly what I was experiencing. So I thought that was so interesting. So the message that I want to articulate in this podcast is that we can learn more from the negative things in life. You can learn more from the worst experiences and situations you've ever found yourself in than you ever will on those days where you're feeling at your best. Because when you're at your best, it's easy, it's effortless. You flow from one movement, one action, one thought to the next. But what about the days where your internal dialogue is telling you that you can't, that you're not good enough? What about those days when everybody seems to just have an opinion that's against yours? What about those days when your energy's low, you're not motivated, and all you want to do is curl up in a ball and hide from the world? How do you react then? What about when something traumatic happens? What about when there's a death in your family? What about, you know, when you lose your job or, God forbid, you go to prison or you wake up and there's something wrong with your health? I mean, those are things that drastically alter your life. And, you know, a mentor of mine and a good friend, TJ Fortuna, has this great metaphor, this analogy, this, I guess it's just a saying, right? You either have to have a dream big enough to propel you forward each and every day, or you have to face something so traumatic, so traumatizing that it's going to compel you into action. You know, and God forbid that we have to face those moments, but sometimes those are the greatest motivators in life. However, imagine if your dream was so compelling, if your dream was so amazing and you wanted it so bad that you found that perpetual motivation deep within you because you knew each step you took was getting you one step closer to that dream. And I think that's the goal for all of us. You know, it is for myself because I have so many goals. For me, it's about narrowing them down into ones that I want to achieve now, and then I can move on to the next one. But anyway, I've been having this internal struggle. It's cognitive dissonance is what psychologists refer to it as. And it's basically when your actions are not aligned with your beliefs, with your thoughts, with your values. And so I'm going through a growing period right now. You know, you call it growing pains, transition, change, whatever you want to refer to it as. And basically, I've been home for almost a year now. I'm really comfortable living back out in society. I am not institutionalized. I've been removed from prison for nearly a year, and I was never institutionalized. However, the transition was a challenge, you know, and at first it was just a change and it was a lot to take in. Then I became just so liberated that I wanted to go and do everything in every moment, you know, like this wild, crazy young dog, you know, that you can't restrain, not even on a leash, wants to pee on every bush and chase down every other dog and play with every kid. You know how a little puppy dog is, man. They have no fear. They have no restraint. So that's how I was. And it was fun. It was amazing. I got to do things in the last 10 months that I did more in the last 10 months than I've done in the first 23 years, by far. Probably 2 to 3 times more, 4 times more, 5 times more. I mean, I had these experiences that were just unlike anything I ever could have imagined. You know, when I sat on my bunk bed in prison, when I sat in my cell and envisioned what I wanted my life to be like, the things that I've done recently have surpassed that tremendously. And I'm so grateful, and it's such an incredible experience and feeling and existence to go through what I've been through and to be living the life I am now and to be excelling is a tremendous, tremendous feeling. And it is an accomplishment. However, I'm not satisfied, and those are the facts. I'm not content, and I never will be, and I know that about myself. So I constantly struggle between feeling gratitude and a sense of accomplishment and that frenetic energy that propels me to want more, you know? I want it so bad. I'm insatiable to an extent that it could be detrimental if I don't keep that energy in check. So lately, I've been focused on channeling that energy into the most productive endeavors that I know will benefit me today, tomorrow, and in the future. And what does that mean? That means I need more balance in my life. That means that I can't train 3 times a day, 5 times a week, because my body's run down, and I'm not enjoying it anymore. It becomes a chore, a task, rather than something that I love. I can't stay up all night with a pretty girl because I missed out on that for 6 years. And then be in a session at 5 in the morning thinking that I'm going to be the most effective trainer, the best trainer that there is out there. It's just not possible. And there was a time where I thought that I could pull that off, you know. I thought that I was Superman, and it was not the case. And so my goal now is to be the most effective and efficient individual that I can. That means when I train, I want to train at the highest level possible. That means when I'm talking to you in a conversation, I want to be eloquent. I want to be fully attuned and fixated on every word that you utter. I want to give you feedback. I want to be a good listener. I want to be immersed in the conversation. That means in my relationships with my beautiful girlfriend, I want to be the best man that she's ever known. I want to be a provider. I want to be someone that is sensitive, compassionate, someone that's protective, someone that is everything that a woman needs in her life. You know, that means as a friend, as a brother, I want to be the best. And how can I do that? Well, I have to be balanced. I was so unbalanced before. I was free. I was running around like a madman. I was loving life. But I wasn't as effective or as efficient as I could have been. So I don't look back upon the last 10 months and think, wow, I should have done this differently. I should have done that. I look back with a big smile upon my face because I'm a free man. I'm grateful. I learned so much from my time away. And I'm so in love with this life more than ever. I'll be going through a day any ordinary day, and I just sit back and look at the last month of my life, and I just smile and think, wow, look how everything has unfolded. Look what I get to do on a daily basis, you know. Recently, I found myself in a relationship with my girlfriend, Jessica Torres, beautiful, amazing woman. Got to give her a shout-out because she's unlike anyone I've ever met. And we knew each other previously, but it's so much different now. You know, it's amazing how life transpires and you grow and you mature. And you see somebody 10 years later, 8 years later, and you keep... It's almost like we're different people, you know. We had to reconnect and to learn each other all over again, but the connection was still there. And so I'm so grateful to have her in my life because she really helps me find that balance that I'm talking about. No longer am I out at 3 or 4 in the morning chasing girls because I'm so excited to be a free man again and just to talk to a girl. No, now I have a girlfriend. And she does everything for me that I ever could have imagined, and I just want to be that person for her that she deserves because she does deserve it. She's an amazing, beautiful, wonderful person, and I'm very grateful to have her in my life. And so, rewind several months back, and I'm doing all these fun things. You know, I'm going skydiving again with my buddy Dan Cecilio, my training partner, a great, amazing human being for his birthday. I'm going backpacking up in the Sierras with my cousin Forrest, my cousin Dylan, and my brother Kevin, 4 days out in the wilderness, hiking, immersed in this beautiful, amazing, awe-inspiring surroundings, you know, waterfalls, snow, in August there's still snow, animals, beautiful skies, stars like you couldn't even imagine, trout, golden trout, laughter like no other, and just boys being boys, you know, I felt like I was 12 years old again. And we pushed ourselves, man. We pushed our bodies to the limit. I remember the first day we got up there, we had to leave at 3 in the morning. Well, we had all stayed up to about 12 and 1 the night before. I think my brother stayed up all night. He was at the casino. You know him. And so the first day was a test, man. We got there, and we were already beat. And then we had to climb up a mountain for like 5 hours straight and then back down the other side. And then we all passed out in the dirt and by this creek. And we woke up, and we were beat. We're like, dang, we got 4 more miles. All uphill and elevation, but if we make it to this next spot, it's going to set us up for the whole trip. So, my brother busted out his pre-workout. We all took a little scoop, and like madmen, we marched on. I think my brother, or my cousin Dylan, who's about 240 pounds plus his pack, he was running. I was power walking as fast as I could up this trail, up these rocks. I mean, power walking like a madman because I was jacked too, and I couldn't catch him. He was just gone. And gosh, we laughed so much that trip, man. We had the best time of our lives. It's something that I'll never forget. You know, the skydiving trip, that trip. And then I think maybe the following weekend or the next one, it was the Ironman that I've been training for. It's the half Ironman. So I had to swim 1.4 miles. I had to cycle 56 miles. And I had to run 13. Well, leading up to this event, a couple months ago, I injured my leg. I think my hip is dislodged on my left side from just overexerting myself. I actually believe I developed iliopsoas syndrome. Basically, your growing muscle right where your leg attaches to your hip. It's inflamed. It's dislodged. Something's going on. So I've been rehabbing it, working at it, really trying to pinpoint what's going on and bring my body back to life. Well, anyways, I couldn't run for a month leading up to the Ironman. I went on that hike, and my leg was killing me the whole time. And I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. It's just the way it is. You train hard, and these things happen. But leading up to the Ironman, I was really having a lot of difficulty, mental difficulty, trying to wrap my brain around the fact that, wow, this is one of your dreams, and it's really close to being unattainable. You know, I couldn't even walk without a lift. How am I going to run? So I didn't run at all for the month leading up to it, and I was almost about to drop out. I talked to a lot of people about it, and they're like, yeah, man, just get the next one, you know? And I started trying to tell myself that that's what I was going to do. But deep down inside, I could not live with myself if I did that, you know? I really, truly contemplated it for a moment. And it was messing with me. It threw my whole routine off because running was a big part of my life. And, you know, so what I do, I started focusing on the swim a little more, cycling a little more. Those were my two weaknesses in those events, you know, the swimming predominantly. So remember what I said in the beginning of the podcast? All the negatives, everything that I face in life, I always have a learning lesson from it. When something happens that I perceive as being a negative, a positive always emerges. And I think that happens with all of us. But are we able to see it, and are we able to grasp and seize that opportunity? For me, I initially broke my shoulder last year snowboarding, and I was just into bodybuilding and being yoked up. Running was fun. Cycling was cool to do with my uncle here and there. But once my shoulder was broken, I really fell in love with the endurance training, and that's when I really wanted to go push my body to the limits in these events. And so a perceived negative, broken shoulder, can't work, turned into me being on a computer, getting certified as a personal trainer because I reached out to my buddy TJ because I had no other choice. I had no work. I had no income. So I got certified in 2 weeks, got a new job, moved to Goleta, started running, started cycling. Boom. All these new things emerged for me. And I just look back on those moments in time and just think, wow, you know, God works in mysterious ways, man. The universe has a way of rewarding you or bringing things into your life that you may not have wanted or realized at the time, but they were so right. The timing was so right. It just all happened, you know? And so, same thing with the relationship I'm in right now. I wasn't looking for a relationship, you know, and it just happened. And I'm so grateful and so happy to have the amazing people and opportunities to live this life, man. So back to the Ironman training. So leading up to it, I finally made the choice. You know what? I'm just going to go, and if I have to walk, I'll walk the run. Because I just want to do this, man. It's something I've been dreaming about for a long time. It's only a half Ironman. I could walk 13 miles, still finish. And that was just my way of saying, you know what? I got to do it. I got to do it. I've been training hard. It's something that I'm really looking forward to. So my brother had a jiu-jitsu competition that day. All of my other friends were busy. My buddy, my training partner, Dan Cecilio, could not make it. So I was just thinking, maybe I'll go up alone. And this is when Jessica and I were really getting a little more serious in our relationship. I asked her if she wanted to go. And I was hesitant because when I go up for something like that, I want to be locked in the zone. I'm going to war. I'm going to battle. I'm going to suffer. I just got to get in that mindset. So it was actually the best choice I ever could have made because not only was she totally amazing and understanding and supportive, but she helped me just to relax before the event. We had fun
so much. We got to go up to Santa Cruz, which is... So Jessica and I drove up to Santa Cruz, and on Saturday afternoon, I checked in at the registration booth. I got all my free gear, and my adrenaline was through the roof. I was so pumped. I just wanted to compete right then and there. Had she not come with me, I would have stayed in that mode, in that same mindset, the entire weekend. However, one of the things that I love about her so much is that she helps me to find balance within my life. So that day, we spent our time together laughing, relaxing, and just having a good time. And looking back in retrospect, because of that, I was able to just really take so much more gratitude and meaning out of the entire weekend. It felt so much more fulfilling. I didn't go up there just in warrior mode, ready to compete, to suffer, to triumph. That's the mindset that I got in once I began competing. However, leading up to it, I was able to really just enjoy each and every moment. And it brought us so much closer together. I feel our connection was just so much more pronounced than that weekend. And so the next day we go down to the beach and I get in my wetsuit and there's this ominous and formidable cloud bank about 5 miles off the coast. It looked about a mile high. It was perfect, man. It was so symbolic of the event, of the day, of the moment. So I start doing some swimming to warm up my body. And I remember I just stopped. Kind of look around. Off to my right is the iconic Santa Cruz Pier. I look around me and there's just people everywhere. The energy was so palpable. It was so alive within me. And I just thought to myself, wow, look where I am. Look what I'm doing right now. I grew up as a kid dreaming of being at this beach surfing, of being amongst all the pro surfers and the scene in Santa Cruz. And here I am competing in Ironman. You know, life is such a trip. And so I was so pumped and ready. Once the event started, I began my swim. I completed the 1.4 miles in 40 minutes. Came in, jumped on the bike, and began to cycle up the coast. Passing to my left is Steamers Lane. On my right are these huge, beautiful rolling fields, cows. You know, I'm cruising up Highway 1, and I'm just so enthralled. I'm so transfixed in the moment. My body's feeling good, and I'm pushing hard. So about mile 30, I'm really locked in my zone. And I just start reflecting and thinking about my life and about the journey, my time spent in prison and everything that I've been able to experience since I've been back. This love that I found with this beautiful girl, my family who I love so profoundly and who's been there to support me in every moment of my life, all the connections that I've been able to make within the community, my clients, you know, my training partners, TJ for giving me the opportunity to come work and to grow and to learn from him. All these things that have transpired within my life. And all the dots are connecting, man. You know, everything that I said I was going to do, that I wanted to do, that I envisioned while I was gone, it's all manifesting within my life. Every day and every moment. As if I'm not even putting these things into action. The story's been written. I merely act out the scenes. It's profound. So I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking, I'm ruminating. I'm thinking about everything, man. I'm so attuned, so alive in that moment. And about mile 40, I started to feel my body just becoming depleted. I didn't do the greatest job of maintaining my nutrition or hydration during the ride, so I really start to feel it about mile 50. I'm coming back thinking, damn, I still gotta run 13 miles. This is gonna be a struggle. And so I come back in, I eat a protein bar, I eat a banana and drink some water, and suddenly I feel my body start to come back to life, and I just remember telling myself, man, just go. All you gotta do is one step at a time. And at that moment, I wasn't sure how my leg was gonna hold up because I had tried to run about a month previously, and I had to stop because the pain was real. And so I remember leading up to this event, I just told myself, just get there and do what you can. And it was that mentality combined with the balance and the joy and the gratitude that I was able to find sharing this experience with my girlfriend that made it so much more meaningful to me. That memory is etched forever within me as a memory of gold. I'll never forget each and every little moment. So I just recall starting to run, and suddenly I feel, okay, I can do this. You know, my leg doesn't seize up, and I was just so humbled in that moment. I was so grateful that God gave me the ability to run. I was so grateful that I went to prison so I could envision doing this, and I'm doing it because my whole life I never challenged myself. I never put myself in these situations. I never faced adversity. I never lived up to who I knew I could be inside. And I just felt like this moment, this weekend, was so symbolic of everything that I've experienced in life. The struggle was real, man, you know, but I was gonna persevere. I was gonna triumph at all costs. So I just started running, and I had so much time to think on that run. You know, I just running slow, keeping my mind focused on the moment, thinking about life, thinking about days that I spent in prison, envisioning, could I ever get out and live this life that I wanna live so badly, man? I wanted it so bad. And in the run, I became very emotional. I started thinking about my Uncle Mark and my Aunt Kim, and how when I came home from prison, they were there for me with arms wide open, with immense love and support. And you know, it was a transition for me, I'm not gonna lie. It was a shell shock at first because I was away for 6 years, and although I wasn't institutionalized, the transition was a challenge. And every step of the way, they were there to support me. And they've always shown me love and support since I was a little kid. And in my eyes, they're more like a father and a mother figure rather than my uncle and aunt. And so during the run, I started to cry. And this emotion just came from within me. And it just wouldn't stop. And I was just so appreciative and so connected to that moment. It meant more to me than I can describe with these words. And a similar situation occurred when I first came home and I set out one day to do a long run. I remember I just became overwhelmed with emotion. I started crying and I felt free. I felt so alive, like an animal that was just caged. You know, I had so much that was stripped from me and taken from me, and I just wanted it all so bad, and I never knew that this moment would come into fruition. You know, every letter I wrote, every phone call, hundreds of them, I told people what I was gonna do, what I wanted, and I kept reiterating it. I kept talking about it, and in this moment, here I am. I'm doing it. I'm a man of action now. I'm not just one of those guys that says he's gonna do it like I used to be and then slowly fades away. I was realizing one of my goals and one of my dreams right here, right now. And so the entire run, I just kept thinking about how amazing that moment would be when I crossed the finish line and my girl's waiting for me. And that's all that I kept thinking about over and over. And these vivid images of my time in prison, my time as a child, you know, the moments since I'd been home, they kept replaying over and over in my head, streaming within my consciousness, beckoning me onward, pushing me forward. When I wanted to quit, I just kept thinking about that feeling of crossing that finish line and all the hard work, everything that I have worked so hard to become over the last 6 years, it all accumulated in those moments. And that was something that I'll never forget. I'll never forget that moment in time. And I just want anybody to know who's listening that no matter what you face in life, no matter what struggles, what adversity, what obstacles come your way, not only can you overcome them to survive, but you can triumph and thrive, okay? It is in those moments when we're challenged that we're forced to adapt, we grow, and then we evolve. We're able to then turn a negative and do a positive. And that's what I've seen occur over and over within my life. It's a reoccurring theme that plays out. So then when I come home and I face small bouts of adversity, when I face challenges, I'm not daunted. In a sick and twisted sense, I almost smile and I get excited because I know something good's coming. Because I found this out about myself through all the challenges that I've faced. And I'm not telling you this to say that every time you face a challenge or a struggle, it's going to be easy. But I'm telling you that in those moments, you harbor the capacity to do something far greater than you could if you didn't face those moments. And from each and every perceived negative situation you face in life, there's an equal positive to be realized. There's an equal accomplishment to be achieved. So when something comes your way that at first you see as a daunting or formidable task, a threatening situation, attempt to see the good that could derive from it. Use it to motivate and inspire you. My time in prison, 6 years. 6 years of my life that I feel was sacrificed, and I would do it all over again because now I harbor perpetual motivation and inspiration for the rest of my life. Don't be scared to live. Embrace every moment. Learn, grow. This is your life.